Bob, can I borrow your phone? Never done this before. We're going to try this. Because one of the complaints that I get a lot of times is, okay, the mass, that's awesome. What you just did there is incredible. It really is the body and blood of Christ. And they really have been doing it for 2,000 years. But it's so boring. So I think there's only one thing that we can do. And I borrowed Bob's phone specifically because I think he's got him on speed dial. Hello, God? Michael, how are you? Good, good. This is Frank DeGeorge. You knew that. I'm here at St. John's, and I have a lot of people here. And we have some questions about the Mass. We have some suggestions and things that, you know, so I'd like to talk to God if I could. The Father. Okay, thanks, great. Hey, you take care. We had a celebration for your feast day last week. I know, we put all three of you together and the guardian angels, but you'll get your special day sometime. Thank you very much, by the way. Keep up the good work. I'll wait. Hello, God. Frank DeGeorge from St. John's. That's right. That's right. It's a good group here. Yes. Yes, you can see us all? Really? All the time? Tell Bob Karubi to stop sending text messages during Mass? Consider it done. Hey, what we're calling about today, we've been talking about the Mass. We've been talking about how special it is. And it is special. And you know, and the first part with the Word and the liturgy, the Word we read, and we do read, we have four readings, well, three in a responsorial psalm, but you count that as a reading, don't you? Of course, yeah. And then, you know, we really get into the Word. Most people really, really like that. That whole part, especially the homilies. Well, we have Bacay. I don't know what his last name is. What is... Yeah, that's him. That's him. He's very good. Walks up and down all the time. That's the one. He's very good, and our people really like that. The problem that we have is the second part. You know, I don't want to say that they think it's boring. But, you know, it kind of drags on, and it just goes on and on. And what's that? That wasn't your idea? Whose was it? Your son, of course. Okay, well, could I? I'd love to talk to him. Okay, I'll wait. What's that? I love you too. Abba, thank you. He loves all of you. He's getting Jesus. He's outside playing. Jesus, how are you? Frank DeGeorge, you knew that. And I'm here with the St. John's people, and we're talking about the Mass. And we love it. It's great. But, you know, there's some things in it that I understand. Yes, a long time, 2,000 years. It was your idea. Very good idea. We like it. Well, it's a little, just that, you know, when we get towards the end, that second part, it just gets kind of dry. What should we be looking at for that? It's God's favorite part? The Father? You did that for Him? Oh. You really don't care what we think about that. Because it's not for us, it's for God. And He likes it. I see. You did that for your Father, to give Him the praise and the glory. I get it. I think we can understand that. It makes sense. You want me to what? Read the words with them. Tell them to listen to the... Did you actually write the words? Holy Spirit, of course. Holy Spirit. Can I talk to the Holy Spirit? Is he up there? He's with us. Of course. Of course. Okay. We'll do that. Thank you so much. I love you too. I'll let them know. Thank you. Thanks, Bob. He says we should read. He said we should pay attention to the words. He said that he made the Mass not for us, but for God. He said that we have all the other 6 days of the week to do whatever we want to do to praise and give God glory. He just asked for one day, for 1 hour, and he asked us to give something back to God. He said it's not about us, it's about what God likes. So let's pay attention to these words. These must be important words. You guys remember Bob Newhart? He did that much better than I did, but anyway. I never heard him talk to God, though. We're going to go through, and I put a little handout, a little insert in your packets today. It's the Eucharistic prayer number 4, okay? And I had to condense it, and I apologize for that. If it's too small, get your readers out, okay? Mine's really big. But what I started to do a couple of years ago was just really focus on these words. Listen to what the priest is saying. And this part of the Mass is just incredible, okay? But far too often we get so distracted. And it might be the kid sitting next to us or in front of us with the trucks and the Cheerios, whatever. It might be the person who's not dressed appropriately over here, or the homily was bad and we didn't like that. It's so easy to get distracted. Take it upon yourself to get focused, because what we're about to do is nothing short of incredible. And we're called to participate in this. So we'll just start. We start with the preparation of the gifts. And again, some of these words we hear on Sunday, some of them we have to come to daily Mass to hear them, because there's a song going here, but we usually miss the preparation of the gifts. But it starts out with, "Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation." I would need to stop right there, because if you've ever been to a Seder supper, that's the first line. The first line of the Passover meal is, "Blessed are you, God, creator of the universe." When we start this whole thing, we're going right back to the Passover. There's this incredible connection to the Passover. "Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. Through your goodness we have this bread to offer. With which earth has given and human hands has made, it will become for us the bread of life." And we respond, words that we don't usually hear, important words though, "By the mystery of this water and wine, may we come to share in the divinity of Christ, who humbled himself to share in our humanity. Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. Through your goodness, we have this wine to offer, fruit of the vine and work of human hands. It will become our spiritual drink." Now listen, "Lord God, we ask you to receive us and be pleased with the sacrifice we offer you with humble and contrite hearts. Lord, wash away my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Pray, brethren, that our sacrifice may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father." We are offering a sacrifice. We're not a people of sacrifice. We haven't been a people of sacrifice for a long, long time. Sacrifice back in the day was very common. Okay, in the Jewish day was very common. It was a very important thing. We are offering a sacrifice at every Mass that we do. We are offering a sacrifice to God. We ask that it's pleasing to him. And the people respond, "May the Lord accept the sacrifice at your hands." And again, when we respond to this, folks, we need to get into this. Please don't mumble this. It's got to be really frustrating for the priest if he hears his congregation, "May the Lord accept the sacrifice at your hands." No. This is, we are joining in with him. We are in unity with the priest. And we say, "May the Lord accept that sacrifice at your hands for the praise and glory of his name, for our good and the good of all his church." Again, just ponder that statement for a little bit. And the next time you say it with meaning, because it has meaning to it. The prayer over the gift changes every week. This week's was, "Father, receive these gifts which our Lord Jesus Christ has asked us to offer in his memory. Again, we're not doing this because we made it up. Our Lord Jesus Christ asked us to offer this in his memory. May our obedient service bring us to the fulfillment of our redemption. We ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Then comes this wonderful thing that's actually called the Eucharistic prayer. And it's just these three lines that I keep starting these sessions with. The Eucharistic prayer is a prayer of thanksgiving. And if we don't shout thanksgiving here, we're missing an opportunity. Okay, the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. That is the Eucharistic prayer. That is the thanksgiving prayer. Then we start the preface. Father in heaven, it is right that we should give you thanks and glory. You are the one God, living and true. Think about what's happening here. The priest, who's this dialogue with? The priest is not talking to us anymore. We're participating in this if we're listening, but he's praying this on our behalf to God. He is talking to God. Father in heaven, it is right that we should give you thanks and glory. You are the one God, living and true. Through all eternity, you live in unapproachable light. Source of life and goodness, you have created all things to fill your creatures with every blessing and lead them to the joyful vision of your light. Countless hosts of angels stand before you to do your will. They look upon you in splendor and praise you night and day. United with them, and in the name of every creature under heaven, we too praise your glory as we say. Now, folks, about a year, maybe 2 years ago, I listened to those words and I realized that this is where the Catechism says we're joining in the heavenly liturgy. This is the spot. At this particular point, heaven is opening up and we are singing a song of praise that is being sung in heaven. And so about 2 years ago, I couldn't help myself. I've been going to charismatic stuff for about 10 years, and I've never done this, okay? But one Sunday in church, when I realized that I was praying with the heavenly hosts, I had to do this. And I still do it because I realize that I am praying with the heavenly hosts. And I look at a spot right above the altar there, because in my mind, I'm listening to what the priest is saying, and the heavens are opening up, and we are joining in praise with the seraphim and the cherubim. And this is awesome. My voice might not be that great, but I'm going to sing praise with this. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. In the book of Revelations, there's a picture of this. A description of it, okay? The angels giving praise to God, singing Hosanna in the highest. Those are the ones that I picture, and I'm doing that with them. We're all doing that with them. We're participating in a truly universal celebration. And then we start the praise to the Father. Father, we acknowledge your greatness. All your actions show your wisdom and love. You formed man in your own likeness and set him over the whole world to serve you, his creator, and to rule over all creatures. Even when we disobeyed you and lost your friendship, you did not abandon him to the power of death, but helped all men to seek and find you. Again and again, you offered a covenant to man, and through the prophets taught him to hope for salvation. Father, you so loved the world that in the fullness of time you sent your only Son to be our Savior. He was conceived through the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, a man like us in all things but sin. To the poor he proclaimed the good news of salvation, to prisoners freedom, and to those in sorrow joy. In fulfillment of your will he gave himself up to death, but by rising from the dead he destroyed death and restored life. And that we might live no longer for ourselves but for him, he sent the Holy Spirit from you, Father, as his first gift to those who believe, to complete his work on earth and bring us the fullness of grace. My friends, purpose in life is just spelled out in that paragraph. You know, there's this big deal going on about a purpose-filled life. Catholics have had a purpose-filled life for 2,000 years. Okay, we just spell it out very clearly here. Okay, read the book. It's a great book. But know that it's not a new invention. Okay? We then come to this incredible part. It's called an invocation of the Holy Spirit. Father, and I think I have a typo in yours. It should say, Father, may your Holy Spirit sanctify these offerings. Let them become for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not magic. The priest does have power to call on God to do this, but there's no guarantees. We are asking God, and by the grace of God, he pours out his Holy Spirit, and that bread and that wine becomes the body and blood of Christ. Okay? There's no magic. It's God. And through faith, we believe. We ask him to do that, to send out his Holy Spirit. I used to think that this is the part where the host became the body and blood of Christ. Father Becquet corrected me, though. Okay? Even though we do the blessing at this point. Okay? There's two points. The current scholars believe that there's two different arguments or two different debates. One says that it becomes the body and blood of Christ during the entire Eucharistic prayer. And the other one says it becomes the body and blood of Christ at the next part that we're about to read. Okay, the Lord's Supper. We don't have the answer to that. Okay, we'll let the scholars debate that. Okay? Does that matter? I don't know. I'm going to go up and receive it after they do both of those. So it's okay. The Lord's Supper. He always loved those who were his own in the world. When the time came for him to be glorified by you, his heavenly Father, he showed the depth of his love. And while they were at supper, he took bread. He said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which will be given up for you." In the same way, he took the cup filled with wine. This is the cup of salvation. He gave you thanks, and giving the cup to his disciples, said, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all so that sins may be forgiven. Do this in memory of me." Let us proclaim the mystery of our faith. There are four different ones that we can do right now. I think we've only been doing three for a long time, and this is part of the preparation for the Roman Missal, because the one, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again, isn't liturgically completely correct. And so we've actually stopped doing that one. I don't know when the last time we did it here was. Okay? And these words, again, these words may change a little bit. Okay, but we're proclaiming the mystery of our faith. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come again in glory. Now we go into the memorial prayer. And this, you know, this for me, this, you know, I used to sit back and say, okay, this is the boring part. I've gotten through all the exciting part now. Okay, now's the boring part. This is the part where the universal mass becomes universal. Okay, truly universal, because we call on everyone now. And we're remembering. Father, we now celebrate this memorial of our redemption. We recall Christ's death, his descent among the dead, his resurrection, his ascension to the right hand. And looking forward to his coming in glory, we offer you his body and blood, the acceptable sacrifice which brings salvation to the whole world. Lord, look upon this sacrifice which you have given to your church, and by your Holy Spirit gather all who share this bread and wine into one body of Christ, a living sacrifice of praise. Lord, remember those for whom we offer this sacrifice, especially Benedict our Pope, Michael our Bishop, and bishops and clergy everywhere. Remember those who take part in this offering, those here present, and all of your people, and all who seek you with a sincere heart. Remember those who have died in the peace of Christ, and all the dead whose faith is known to you alone. Father, in your mercy, grant us also, your children, to enter into the heavenly inheritance in the company of the Virgin Mary, the Mother of God, and your apostles and saints. Then, in your kingdom, freed from the corruption of sin and death, we shall sing your glory with every creature through Christ our Lord, through whom you give us everything that is good. Now, I have to go up onto the altar to do this last part. And I want to make sure everyone understands the cup is empty and the host is not consecrated. But there is something that is done here at St. John's that I've never seen done in any other church, and it's because of the proximity of that cross to that altar. And it's just something beautiful that struck me probably within the last 2 months. Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. I have never seen a church that is set up so that you can see the connection between this cup and this Eucharist and that cross so clearly. It became so evident to me that this Eucharist is the Paschal mystery. This is Jesus on the cross, his death and his resurrection. And Father Bill used to do it better than anyone. He would lift this up very high so that it was right under that cross. It was beautiful. That is our Eucharist. That is our faith. We can't give that a small little amen. We have to give that a huge amen. We then go on and we pray together, because we're in unity. And again, those closing prayers, that memorial prayer, that's so powerful because it's pulling us all together. And right now, I want to pull us all together. I want to kind of take us back from where we started and then wrap this up. 2 weeks ago, we started with a passage about Simon of Cyrene, walking in the footsteps of Jesus. And that night we gave you a challenge. You all came forward. And we gave you ashes, but we didn't just give you ashes. We asked you, will you turn away from sin and be faithful to the gospel? And we waited for that response. And when you responded, yes, I will, then you were marked with ashes. Last week you came forward and you were anointed. And we said, God has no hands but your hands, because we are all called to be disciples. Tonight, I would like you to come forward for a closing prayer. I'd like for you to all come forward, and we're going to gather around, and we are going to stand at the foot of the cross, right where we started, right where we belong, right where we need to be before we go out into the world that's waiting for us. So if you could just come on up, process up if you would like to, because that's what Catholics do. I appreciate everyone's reverence. I don't know how many of you have come up onto an altar before. For some people, I know they've never been up on an altar. We can receive Christ in our hands. He wants to be intimate with us. I think he's okay with us being up on his altar. Being Catholic is a marvelous thing. It's an incredible gift. Being Christian is an incredible gift. Being called to stand at the foot of the cross, to take up his cross on our daily journey, is a beautiful thing. What I'd like to do right now is I'd like to invite you all to pray to God. Not like we normally do, all together, saying the same words at the same time. I'd just like you to pray to God out loud. Talk to God. If you're uncomfortable and you don't know anything to say, don't worry about the person next to you. They're not going to be hearing you anyway, because they're going to be praying. If you don't know anything else to say, say the Our Father. Say a Hail Mary. But I want our voices to blend, and I want you to hear all of our voices blending up. God hears every single one of us. We're all individual, and yet we're praying together. So I'd just like to ask you all to just lift your voices, give praise to God, thank God for this time together tonight. We pray together in the words our Savior gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. 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 The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Folks, I don't know how to end this. Thank you.